said, yeah, Pastor Walter Isaac, my friend. And it's just interesting that so many have mentioned that here tonight. And I know that those of you online feel exactly the same way. He was my friend. And in this age, he would have had many BFFs, okay? And we're just really, really grateful for that. I really love what's behind me on the wall here of Graceway Baptist Church, and that is right below the cross. It's amazing how in this day and age, churches are always changing their vision statements and changing their names and trying to be more palatable to or presentable to the world. And it's like, I really always loved what was on the letterhead of Graceway from 1987 when we first met the Isaacs and attended Graceway Baptist Church as one probably of their first missionaries that they ever supported. Jane and I, when we came to reach the heathen of Mississauga. And it was, you know, we were very, very young back then. And so it's, he's alive. He's alive. You know, Walt really believed that he's alive, and that is Jesus. And so if he really believed that, then he also knows, we should know that Walt also is alive. And I really think when we stand at this juncture in life, you know, we do tend to forget that most of our friends, especially when you get to be my age, okay, most of my friends are on the other side, okay? They're not here. And the longer we live, the less roots we actually have here and the more we have in that heavenly city that we have to look forward to. And so tonight, I'd just like to talk just a little bit about Pastor Walter Isaac, my friend. Who was he? Well, he was God's shepherd. And I was thinking of a scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, which often comes to my mind, 11 to 13, where we have the list of the gifts that God gave to the church. And he gave the apostles. He starts with the apostles, okay? That's a pretty significant group of people there, the 12 of them. And the prophets, the evangelists, and then you come to the shepherds and teachers. You see, Walt is right in that group of people that are mentioned here as special gifts that God specifically sent into this world to reach the people that he loves so much. And so sometimes we take for granted because he was just an everyday guy and so easily approachable and related to us, maybe a brother, maybe our father, but he was God's anointed. Really, God sent him. He held that office here as God's representative. And what was his purpose? It was to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That was his calling, and he never faltered from doing that. For the building up of the body of Christ, you see, we tend to forget that God is building a body of believers, that all who put their trust and faith in him will become a whole new generation, a whole new group of people. He's recreating humanity. And you see, in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered the world, it destroyed us. It destroyed God's original creation and design. And so he's recreating us through Jesus Christ. And so this is such a mystery, but it's a beautiful thing to explore and to seek to understand more and more. What is God doing? Because really, that's the most important thing in this universe. And so he was using guys, men, like Walter Isaac. So he was one of God's gifts to the church. His title appears in this distinguished list here tonight. He fulfilled the biblical office of shepherd, or we call pastor. Both Colleen and Walt participated in that calling. One fulfilling the calling, the other enabling, and the rest of us benefiting greatly from God's gift to us. You know, sometimes we don't thank God for our pastors. You know, I mean, in this day and age, you can barely tolerate them, okay? It's like, oh, get those guys out of here. You know, they're talking about God in heaven, and, you know, I just want to live my life here on earth. You know, well, okay, but that's a very limited viewpoint of the universe if that's all you have. And, you know, he's a unique pastor because he's the only one that I know that actually carried all of the important details of his ministry in little notes in his pocket. little small post-it notes he would stuff down in his pocket. And everything that was important, near to his heart, so he would never forget them. I'm sure it was a dangerous thing to actually do laundry in the Isaac home, because, you know, some of his best sermons, no doubt, were dispersed in the washing machine. So, you know, sometimes when we think of royal titles, where a ruler exercises authority over others, we realize the title of shepherd is really the exact opposite. You know, God's highest earthly office is a person commissioned by God to serve the needs of others. He's willing to sacrifice everything so he could gain in earthly, he was willing to give up all of his earthly treasures so that he would only obtain his heavenly treasure. And you see, at this point, he's actually come into his inheritance. But to live an entire life with gaining nothing, giving up everything, very few people do that in our world. And certainly kings and queens would never be doing that. But the servants that God sends into this world, they are the ones who give up all. And they are the greatest in God's sight. To have sat under the ministry of Pastor Walter Isaac has certainly been one of the greatest privileges God could have bestowed upon many of us here tonight and all of you listening here tonight. To have been his friend is one of the greatest privileges that I have had in my 34 years of knowing him. Who was Walter Isaac? He was a faithful shepherd, a faithful husband, a faithful father, a faithful friend to many of us. His name would surely appear among those who lived their life by faith if the unknown author was writing Hebrews today. By faith, his example could be tacked in there just as easily. Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith. Notice the pattern here. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them. How do you do that, you know, and not be there, but you somehow have this sight that God gives you to be able to see the end and to be able to see the reward, so to speak, at the end of it, but not get it. And he greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You know, you have to come to grips with the fact that this world is not your home. It's really not. And it's not your friend. This is where you live in exile your entire life until God takes you to where that city that he's created for you. For people who speak like this, make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. Walt was on a mission. He was seeking a homeland. He was working for that homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. You know, in the testimonies here tonight, you can see that Walt left the world. He could have stayed here. He could have made an entirely different life here, but he chose a different path. Or rather, God chose him. You know, we can fight about that until the cows come home as to who chose who, but it works together, doesn't it? God chooses. And then we choose. We choose it what God wants for us. And when we get that, you know, we get on the right track. We really do. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed. And I love this last tagline. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, wouldn't you just like to be in that number? Wouldn't it just thrill you even that God is not ashamed to be your God? You know, what do we do in order to make God ashamed of us? Well, we reject him. We say he doesn't exist. We say he doesn't matter to our lives. We say, I want to live my life the way I want to live it. Or do we choose to serve our Heavenly Father, the one who made us, who put life in our lungs and gave us this life and gave us one for eternity? You see, it's really all on the other side of the line tonight. It's really where Walt is right now, with his reward. And wouldn't it be great if we could all do as well? Wouldn't it be great if we could? So what aspect of his godliness, and he was a godly man, there's no doubt about it, even though he loved the Leafs, okay? What aspect of his godliness blessed me the most? There are many, and many we wouldn't have time. As John said, I think, there are not enough books written to include all of the things, that the blessings. But I appreciated his humility. That's a rare quality for a man to be truly humble. You don't meet many today, and our world does not ever hold this up as something to attain to be a humble person or to have humility. But we can learn humility from Walt, and I am going to have to apologize to him when we see each other for saying this. I really am, because he will go, "What?" And which was his common response when we did something a little out of character. And even among pastors, this is a difficult attribute to maintain, humility. It really, really is. He was a well-educated man, very well-educated. He always could communicate with anybody, but he was very knowledgeable about Scripture, and he always desired to know God better, always. You know, he never stopped growing as a believer. We sat together in postgraduate classes. He took every seminary extension course that was offered through Calvary Baptist Seminary that we ran in Mississauga for many years. He had an insatiable thirst for the living God. And his sermons always reflected careful and thorough knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. You just knew that he was speaking the truth to you, because he was speaking what God wanted to hear. It was never his agenda. It was always, first of all, what does God want to say to us? And then I need to be faithful in telling others what God has to say. So it wasn't just listening to him. It was about listening to God. And whenever you heard him, God spoke through him. So this is the kind of man that he was like, a truly humble man, a rare person in any walk of life. What would Walter Isaac desire for those that he loves? Because truly, he has left people that he loved on this side of eternity. And so I think, first of all, we could talk to ministry peers. That would be us and some here tonight and many of you online. For ministry peers, he is a role model for us to follow. And we all need role models, no matter how old we get, and even in ministry. A man who never desired personal greatness, he was a true servant leader. He did not build his own kingdom, but diligently worked to expand the kingdom of God. That was his focus. That was his priority. Perhaps the songwriters Bernie Herms, Mark Hall, and Matthew West described this well in their contemporary piece of music called Only Jesus. I want to read some of the lyrics of this. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. Because all that really mattered, did I live the truth to the ones I love? I like that line, don't you? Did I live the truth to the ones I love? And he did. Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him, only Jesus. Now that speaks volumes about my friend, Walter Isaac. And then, what would Pastor Isaac desire for his friends? For his friends. You know, the last few sermons Pastor Isaac preached, and he preached here right up until, you know, I'm thinking, why is he still preaching? You know, Scott's there. He can take care of this. But oh no, you know, he's sick as can be, and yet he can stand and prepare an incredible message, perhaps one of his best here, the last message that he preached. The last few sermons Pastor Isaac preached leave little doubt as to his passion for his sheep to continue their walk with God. That's what he spoke on. He said, "This is the path before you. Walk this way." May we honor him today with obedience to the scriptures that so clearly communicated a safe and well-traveled path. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We pause for thoughts upon that. For his friends, follow what he said. It was the truth. It is the way that God has made for us. And then for his family. For his family. What would Pastor Isaac desire for his family? For his children. That they would each find their own unique path in life. No two are the same in any way, shape, or form. That ultimately leads to sharing eternity with Jesus and their Father. Wouldn't that be something to look forward to? You know, do you want to see Dad again? Do you want to be with him? I mean, you should want to be with Jesus first and foremost. But right after that, it would be those who loved you so much. Children are all unique and special in their own way. There is no doubt he loved them all equally. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and do not become angry if life does not go the way you would like. Instead, ask the Lord how to take your struggles and sorrows and give them to Jesus, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Because you have often seen and heard Jesus speak through your Father, when faced with a tough decision, you might ask yourself the question, what would Dad say about that? Just as Jesus had to leave his family here in this world, he prayed for them before he left. Just as the Lord said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane that if his kingdom were of this world, then his servants would fight. But it was not. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Don't let your love affair be with the world in which you live. Let it be with the God who loves you. You're living in a world that is lost to idolatry. Every form of personal indulgence is glorified and touted as making this world a better place. Sexuality has become a false god. Social justice, a man-made idol. Materialism has become the drive for all. Fame to be desired by many. All methods that Satan uses to expand his kingdom and influence. Walt clearly chose a different kingdom, one that is yet to come to this world, just as Jesus did. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 7, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." We have much to lose if we're willing to forfeit. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul is the prize, not the body. It's the soul where the life resides. What would Walt want for his soulmate of 45 years? Walt loved long road trips. I spent many of them with him. One going across the Mackinac Bridge when the linkage on our Honda Civic let go on the bridge, and we couldn't change the transmission gear, so we hauled the car up on the side of the curb, and I said, "Walt, you know, you got a coat hanger back there?" And so crawled under the car and put the coat hanger through the linkage, and on we went to finish our journey. But he loved travel, and most of the time he would just listen to me talk. Sometimes we would ask Walt and Colleen in our dialogues and sitting down having coffee or tea, we would say, "Well, what do you guys talk about on long trips?" And we were surprised to hear the answer to that. "Oh, nothing," Colleen would say. "Nothing at all. We're just quiet as we travel." Well, think of this as a long road trip. You both know where you're going. Nothing really needs to be said. Remember the quietness of knowing that you're going to the same place together. You carry each other's presence in your heart. Nothing really needs to be said. Where would Pastor Isaac point us to in Scripture during this troubling time? I think John chapter 14 is one of the beautiful passages of Scripture, friends. To all of us here tonight in Milton, Ontario, and around the world, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Walter Isaac is my friend and my spiritual hero. Today, he can confidently say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May God be with us all tonight, and may his comfort be with the Isaac family in a very special way, as only Jesus can do. Let's pray. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, the great God of the universe, I pray that he will keep this family, keep his hand around this family, keep his hand upon this family, even as it was upon Walt's life. And Lord, when any of us take a wrong turn in the road or start going down the wide path, that we would just be turned to that narrow gate. And it certainly seems like a more difficult one to enter. It always does. But Lord, help us to set aside the complexities of our own mind and the things that fool us and the lies that seem to trick us, and accept the fact that we can walk through that gate unto life. There is life. There's real life, real spiritual life. There's more. It's more than this physical life that we have here in this world. There's a kingdom coming. There's a Savior and there's a King who's returning. God has laid out his plan. He does not keep secrets. He reveals everything to us. And so God, help us to put in perspective this moment and realize that it's only a short time before we're all going to stand before you. And we're going to either stand under your careful gaze and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, or step over here and let's hear about your self-righteousness and all the accomplishments that you did and whether or not heaven is a place for you. God, help us not to trust in ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are wicked human beings. It defies comprehension that your love would be attached to any of us, Lord. Like we do stand amazed that we can be saved from ourselves and from this world and from the principle of sin that seeks to destroy us and brings us only death. God, help us to be reminded this time there's something to live for in eternity. And that's a great Savior, a great God, a loving God, one who waits patiently for us to turn to Him. And He never lets us go. He is the Father that looks for the prodigal to return. God, help us to come back to You wherever we may be and wherever we've gone and whatever we've done, realizing that Your mercy is great and Your forgiveness is exhaustive in every possible way. Thank You for this night, Lord. Thank You for our friend who sets such a terrific example for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.